Hello, what you got there?
Doot. Cut tape off. She's got a sticker like a 3000. Oh yeah, that calls for a party.
Ooh, live party though with no music. It's kind of weird. I bought this giant professional label maker for $20 on Marketplace.
It's cute.
And I don't really have, I mean, it's just kind of was like, I had that feeling of like, oh, that looks expensive. That used to like, it used to be expensive. And it's like from like the early 2000s, but it just works
Wow.
great. And it makes like 24 mil tall labels.
That'll do. Does it do the nice like crossways labels for labeling wiring? Like, can you print
Yep, it does a flag.
perpendicular
Yep.
little flags and stuff?
It can change the
Nice.
orientation. Apparently, it can do parameters, which I find to be
A bit jealous.
very interesting. I don't know. I have at least two non-working label printers on a shelf over there, and they just like one eats the tape. I don't know. Why not have another
Why
one?
not? Do you spend much time noodling on Marketplace?
It's kind of a casual, like. No, you know, I wouldn't call it a doom scroll. It's like a opportunity scroll.
Yeah, I have been on there a little bit lately, looking for solar panels and stuff. Keeping an eye on little inverters, you know.
Just looking for everything all the time. It's like, oh, new forklift? Yeah, maybe. It's the right price. I don't know. How about a table? I could use a longer table.
What is the table situation like? I saw a little video this morning of you like
I have tables.
going through your mouse hole into a room of stuff.
Dark, crowded shit in a corner.
Yeah. You got no
It
lights
was a
in
little
there?
more organized. There are. The light switch is across the shop, and so like I just end up going in and out in the dark, and then the UMC has such like spaceship lights around it that like when it's on, I don't really need the other lights. Austerity measures. No, I don't know.
Yep.
Next door tenant is he's had a very busy sales season, I guess, with conferences and stuff. So he's not really he's moved in like one carload of stuff. So we took all of our miscellaneous crap that was like kind of just casually placed about the rest of the shop, and Ricky just shoved it in the back of the shop. So now it needs a going through, and we're buying some pallet racking and gonna put it together in a little more sensible way, and that should solve a lot of the mess.
Nice. Good. And the subtenant will sort of subsidize a chunk of next door. Good. Good
Yeah,
move.
it's a gross, like a modified gross lease, so it's like
A what
it's a
lease?
good amount that modified gross. So we have like triple net, where you like pay overhead of the building and stuff, like the property taxes and stuff like
Yeah.
that. And then there's gross, which is like, I can't explain it very well, but it's like not paying triple net. You're paying like just for the space. And then there's modified gross. It's kind of a mix of both, where you're paying for some utilities in there and stuff. So,
Okay.
it's simple. The idea is it was like a turnkey space where like you don't need to figure out internet and your bills.
Sure.
So it's
Okay. Yeah.
a little pricier than it would be otherwise, but it's perfect for him. That's what I was looking for. And yeah, it offsets a
Good.
portion of what I owe for that space because they get the majority of the space.
Perfect. Good. Good. Good.
What was I going to say about that? Oh yeah. In relation, I sold the Dexter room to the neighbor
To the
across the
next door.
street.
Nice.
So we took it apart with a couple other people and carried wall sections with twin wall attached to it still across the street. It's pretty humorous looking. Just like pieces going with four people carrying it.
What are they doing with
They do manufacturing, but like sporting goods basically, like their own products, and they're getting some kind of device that needs to be more temperature and humidity controlled. And so they had asked me to come over and think about maybe how they might do that because they're not really like, they outsource a lot of their production.
Yep.
And I was like, well, I got a room for you. I'm trying to get rid of a room. Can I put you in a nice room?
Put you in a room by 3 o'clock.
And they were like, sure. And I was like, all right. So now I have a big open space of it again.
Awesome. Delights.
How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good for 6 o'clock on a Friday. Waking up. Yeah, no, it's not a bad week. It was all right. What happened this week? Just classic gem, scatterbrain, task switching. Tried to get a whole lot of quotes out the door and played with my robots a little. Stayed up way too late. Bloody trying to install stupid open claw, malt bot, clawed bot, whatever it's called.
Yeah, I haven't kept up on that too much.
Oh, yeah, that was a self-destructive evening. I'll tell you about that later. Gosh, what else have I achieved?
I love when
you go
to moltbook.com. There's a toggle between I'm a human and I'm an agent.
Is it? Yeah.
Interesting.
But no, it's a decent week. Decent week. Won some good jobs. Made some progress on the US licensing kit of parts agreement. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, what have you been doing? What's news?
I was just going to ask, your images are so good, and like you usually put them in stories of like customer examples. Do you have a collection of those on your website for people to browse and like?
No. I should.
Even if they were just like really unlabeled, I'm sure they work well in stories, but. You know, just a more static place might be really nice, even if it's just like a grid that light boxes.
I know, right? It's something I've meant to do for years. Thank you for the poke.
I bet I know a way you could do that fast.
It's part of the reason I bought the domain I really like Butter. Because I thought there'd be a nice little spin-off, like customer submitted.
Yeah.
Photos and content. Not
I can't
that it
find
needs
it.
To be on a
is
separate
it .com
domain.
AU? Or is it just not just working?
True. I can't find it right now. It's because I can't type at this hour of the morning.
When are you going to move on Like Butter B&B? We came up with last time.
I really like butter.com.au. There's nothing there now, I don't think. But I've had the domain for years and keep not knowing what to do with it. Now I know. Thank you, Justin. Yeah.
Well, let's just put a little checkbox for you here. Gem's new kit of parts gallery.
Do it. It's part of the reason I got off Slack is because I had years of customer photos that I dumped into the good news channel and then not done anything with them necessarily. And Slack kept making my old stuff disappear. So now,
you know what I did at one point, and I think they're lying about deleting stuff because it's so cheap that I don't think there's any good reason to. I bet if you just did a trial, you can go pull it all out.
That's exactly what I did. I had some credit for some reason, and I signed up for a pro account, and I just dredged the archives, and it was all still there, right back to, I don't know, 10 plus years of Slack.
That's one of the best fun secrets about software development is when things are deleted, they're almost always quote unquote soft deleted or just hidden from the user. And part of that's so that you can undo. That's how like undo works. Is it just changing visibility? But then also, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but it's like what you're doing is running a script every so often that just deletes all the old stuff. If you actually do it, but a lot of companies just see it as valuable to keep, so they just don't do it, even though they tell you it's deleted.
Yep, yippity do. I've always been slightly conflicted about customer photos. I can't like it's like like when my any of my
like getting
my
permission.
Team take no. The permission thing's annoying to go and ask them, so sometimes I don't ask and. I just finicky, like on framing or contrast or like it being a hadn't cleaned their lens. It's like, do it. Yes, it's cool to see the outcome, but do I share it? I don't know, should just get over it and share it. But what is,
I think you're at an advantage that you're in an aesthetic business and that people want to share that appropriate. I mean, I'm not even like, no judgment. It's just like, it's a little harder for me. I have to like kind of dig at people to be like, hey, can you send me a photo of how you use your fang clamps? You know, and they're like, a bad top photo that doesn't show how it works. And it's like, thanks. Yeah, that's what I'll use, I guess.
Yep. Yeah. Cool. Thanks for adding to my to-do list.
Sure.
What's happening? What's happening?
Check off? Anything else?
No. Don't go ticking.
Let's see. I mean, just in a big overall sense, I mean, I mentioned end of last year, I'm thinking about hiring somebody. Still thinking about it. I'm waiting for continued stability and like, I want to see how having the sublease kind of stabilizes. It's a weird word. Weird. Too much corporate language. But basically, like, I want to see how my money works out when he's here a little bit. To feel like I can afford to hire somebody and run some more like numbers through my profit first agent, because I got to adjust some percentages now. But I just have this overwhelming feeling anymore that like, and I said this before about email, it's a little bit better, but it still feels like all I do is spend my time on email and lately purchasing things, like trying to find the right thing to buy for.
Yeah,
just, I mean, the two things of note are like a weird coolant tank system. Like we need to pour water into a tank and then have it have a pump that pushes it out. And like the reason for this, I guess I'll just say it here, that we had a plumber come in to do some work in a bathroom over there. The landlord did, my landlord. And he also put a faucet in for our Venturi pump for the coolant. And when he was here the last time, he said, is that like a chemical that's hooked up to the Venturi? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, it's coolant. It's emulsified coolant. And he goes, oh, that's high risk. You have to have this crazy expensive device to prevent backflow. It's like $800. And I was like, I have never heard of such a thing. I reached out to a handful of friends who have shops and they were like, never heard of it. Don't know what you're talking about. Never done anything like that. And I guess the risk, which I am, it's less, you know, after I got past the shock of like, what do you mean I have to have a device preventing backflow? It's only going one way. There's a shutoff. And I guess the risk is that it can still somehow like siphon backwards into the water supply, which is kind of messed up. And I'm sure there's evidence of this happening. And so it's disconnected at the moment. And the solution to not pay $800 is to get a water tank and air gap it from the city water coming in to the tank. So there's no connection. I can't go backwards. And then the tank has a little pump that pushes into our Venturi. And that should be $300 maybe. And that will make it a little more portable. Right now we're filling up buckets and moving the buckets over. So it's like we're just filling up a tank and moving the tank over and pumping it directly in then. So it's kind of an improvement. But it's just like a big stupid project. So it's like I got to find the tank, the pump, the fittings. Does it go on a cart? You know, and I've just been staring at that for like 2 weeks of like not effectively finding, like I could just buy them all right now off McMaster and probably spend $600 easily, maybe more. And I just like spin around and not solve the problem. So it's just stuff like that, that I feel like it's what I need to be doing, I suppose, but I feel like it could be somebody else doing it just as well, you know?
Could it?
I don't know. This is why I wrote down who buys the stuff in your business.
Who buys the stuff? You know? There's so much, like, yes, could be anyone if it's a documented system of, like, these are the part numbers that we buy every time we need the thing. But you're not just buying parts. You're, like, there's so much, decisions like, and context baked into what you're trying to do there with, like, making a new thing and getting the right. It's like, yeah, I don't know. That's something different. That's not just
That's true. You know, yeah.
Inventory ordering. Because, like, in, you know, it's like going to the plumbing store to problem solve. It's like wandering the aisles of, like, cool, I know the problem I'm trying to solve. Could it be this? It could be that. Could be that. But if I should make that decision and source that component, that affects these components downstream. And yes, there's plenty of people that could solve that. But then that becomes quite a skillful exercise as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't. I mean, it's like, what are the responsibilities and things that you actually end up taking on? I suppose some of that's decisions that you get to make as like the business owner. But it's like, in my mind, it is a low skill thing to, and especially in today's age where like I'm either passing these, like the reason I even got to the air gap solution was I immediately panicked when the plumber was like, yeah, that's about $800. And I was like, $800 for what? So I can stop water from moving backwards? And I immediately walk around the corner and start talking to GPT like, this mother, how do I solve this problem and not spend $800? And it immediately was like, well, you can air gap it. That would solve all your problems. And I was like, yeah, let's do that. And so then I'm like down this path where at that point, to me, in today's world with AI tools, it's not, now I'm just making decisions about like, what are the pieces, which ones, how big of a tank? And it's not like, I guess I don't feel like that's complicated, but I'm also not solving it. So
I just think it's highly contextual doing that sort of stuff. It's not, yeah, not necessarily
like you wouldn't
complicated.
Delegate that.
You delegate it to someone skillful who knows the same, is aware of all the same sort of inputs and problems that you're aware of. You delegate that to your machinist. But I don't know that
I mean,
you delegate
talked about
that
it with Ricky,
to...
but
huh?
I've talked about it with Ricky, but I definitely would be the one that's more suited to do it than him, you sure. know, him and I, because I guess the mystery position that I'm attempting to come up with is you deal with a lot of customer interaction, emails, and then stuff like researching and sourcing things would be really nice too. Like, because we do a lot of that with trying to find like the perfect washer for the fang clamps.
Yeah, sure.
And it's just a lot of internet searching, trying to find kind of, and I don't mind doing some of that too, but it's like nobody's running the UMC in the process, you know? Instead of finding a washer.
Yeah.
Failure of me to some degree, but anyway. I don't know if there's any resolution to this, just other than feelings.
Yeah. I don't know. I suppose this is a hard line sort of view of it maybe, but just go run the UMC, stop making excuses, and
yeah,
then source the washer.
No,
when you've got time, because there is time to source washers.
Well, you know what sucks about going to run, like if we just adjust that scenario, if I go run the UMC, then I run out of coolant and I can't refill it because I don't have the
She is, yes.
That's the problem I keep running into. It's just stupid, you know? Like, it's all problems I can solve, and I suppose the answer is just spend more money and get it faster, which I don't like that answer all the time, and I feel like it gets me into the trap of, like, big credit card bill that suddenly is there because I've been solving my problems fast, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Does the UMC evaporate coolant quickly? Does it use a lot?
No. Way less than the YCM did.
Oh, really?
Which is interesting.
Did the YCM have classic banger through spindle?
No, through spindle.
Coolant as
flood.
Well? Had flood.
Had an absolute just ton of flood coolant. Like probably too much. Maybe. I don't know if there's too much, but like the UMC has like kind of like four nozzles that come out in a quadrant around the head, and then it also has this thing called the P-Cool, which is another programmable one that's stuck in one position right now. And then it has like kind of wash out around the bottom.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't really know why. Maybe we just haven't run it as much or something, but
sidebar, anyway. Great work on the three spindle coolant on last week's episode. Very good. What a track.
Apparently I need to start a Spotify. I've had so many people.
If you didn't listen
say.
All the way through to last week's episode, go back and listen to the last 3
we'll put
minutes.
It right.
Where Justin rolls out an instant classic.
Oh, that's
good.
I need
how many
a faucet
prompts
for my Venturi stat?
How many prompts?
2.
Nice.
So what's crazy is like I'm always like I take the whole transcription for the show and it helps me write the summary and suggest titles. And then after I had done that, I was like, yeah, see if you can think of some funny songs, you know, in SimTheory, my agent for parts department. And it came up with, I didn't post one, which it wasn't as good. It was about like, it was 50 Shades of White about your like being wrong. And it was a country song and it just like wasn't very good. It didn't really make sense. And but the through spindle coolant one, man, is that was a one, like I only made one song. That was the only song it made. I did review the lyrics before it made it, but like so good. Like you can barely tell it's like AI to me. It's just like you can see her little tinniness at times, but
yeah, that's very good.
I told Dylan sent me a message. He's like, that is a great song. Later he's like, I don't want to admit how many times I've unironically listened to that song this week. And I was like, me too. And I was like, this is why I might just make a Spotify for the show so I can just listen to these dumb songs somewhere.
I do find myself listening to the dumb AI songs from This Day in AI semi-regularly on there.
They come
account.
Up in my DJ mix and I like will be listening to them and I'm like, this is pretty good. And then I hear some stupid lyric and I start laughing like, oh, that's an AI song.
So I had a shower thought last night about two things. One was just general praise for Johnny, my machinist, because we did a bit of a handover yesterday. He's going away. He's going skiing in Japan, the bastard, for 2 weeks. And so we did a little handover yesterday of just a couple of things that I knew he could do that I didn't know how to do. Like, can you just walk me through these few operations that I know you've developed? Anyway, he chatted me through some stuff and some fusion things and some machine setup stuff. And I was just like, thinking about it afterwards, like, he's just got some really good systems going on. And he's the person, he's a personality that sort of, he's always actively improving things, which is amazing. So it's just like, as he was walking me through a fusion file and a cam setup and like his cam setups are just getting tighter and tighter as time goes by. And like, there's templates that are almost entirely automated now in terms of pocket and edge selection and stuff. You have to do very little when you use one of his cam templates, and it's just super tight and just really nice to see that all coming together.
Very
just
cool.
Yeah, little quality of life things. Anyway, pretty cool. But that sort of led me to sort of thinking in the shower last night about like how technology based we actually are as a business, and like what we like, if I think about the company as a sort of standalone entity, what does the company reward? And it, to some extent, it rewards technical competence in stuff that is, you know, tangential to making furniture. It's like, are you good at computers? Yes or no?
Right.
You know,
I mean, do the floor employees, like the people making stuff, are they really using computers often?
No, I guess not. But that's kind of what led me to that. It's like, in terms of what's encouraged, what's rewarded, both historically and now in the business, is like technical competence and a sort of an ability to pick up things quickly in what can only really be described as a sort of a technology company more than a furniture or like wood shop. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, we sand things, but other than sanding and spraying, we're very techy. Anyway, that's just an interesting thought.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. Don't know. Anyway, John's off, so I'll be on machine slots next 2 weeks, which will be kind of fun, but means quotes will fall behind, as is the way of things. But yeah, kind of looking forward to some machine time.
Yeah, that was nice. I do enjoy it. It's funny, you hear this all the time with everybody else, but the, you know, why you started the business and what you like to do and what you end up doing. It's like, I do mostly, well, it seems like a thing to get accomplished. It is nice to just go and bury myself next to the UMC. Iterate and figure stuff out and get it done, and it's such a nice luxury, I guess. It feels like anymore.
I know, such a nice place to be to get those moments. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, good job, Johnny.
Yeah, good job.
I want to see your templates.
Mm-hmm. I'll show you my Fusion templates.
Speaking of content, Gems published some new robot OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I enjoyed the thought process going through the grasshopper.
Yeah.
It did. It is an interesting... Let me see. I'm both amazed that is as reliable as it is and that you get decent results out of it. It's really cool to see the canvas, right? Like the space where it's like showing you what it's doing is amazing. The other side of Grasshopper is exactly what anybody that's maybe not like an expert at Grasshopper imagines. It's an absolute wire mess. And it's not even that you've organized it poorly. It's not organized poorly. It's just that's how it always ends up being. And I was trying to think of like, well, what's the next phase of this? It feels like a really amazing proof of concept, but like, do you just end up building some type of mini app or something that helps you even like control Grasshopper, which is kind of maybe another Band-Aid, but then you can still use your Rhino to like prove it out, and it helps you merge the files, and it's a little more GUI-based.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It does, a lot of the time, it does feel like I'm just sort of proving a point or getting it to a point where I can sort of prove out a workflow, and then I need the next solution. Like the fact that I got to sort of doing one small shelf, and now it's such a headache and a hurdle to change the geometry to the next shelf size, just makes, it's a massive flaw in the system. But you know, it's because I'm hacking my way through it in a very DIY way, rather than paying, you know, 20-30 grand for a piece of professional software, which would do it out of the box. So I do like the idea of skinning it somehow, or like now that I'm at this point of going, cool, rethinking it, like how can I make this just do the thing that I need it to do simply without having to reverse engineer it every time. Because, it's a massive, massive headache getting back into that file. And I think it is poorly organized because it's been built so iteratively over so many sessions. And I've got that thing now where I've got multiple versions of that patch for different robots or different setups. And I'll make improvements to like the Grasshopper GUI, if you like, in one file.
Right.
But then that's just in that one file and not across my system. So then I open up a different patch to work on a different setup or a different part. And that doesn't have the nice little scripty thing that I did to generate the next file output or whatever, and it's just like, the whole thing's a bit of a hodgepodge. Yeah.
I've had those things like that too. I mean, I feel like a lot of my experience with the YCM is like that. And I never felt like it was worth investing. I always felt like there was another thing coming, which at this point now I'm lots more happy. I'm more happy to invest into something like the UMC's workflows and yeah. Anyway, I don't know what that is. It does almost seem like it's some type of little local web app potentially that runs Python scripts or something. Mm-hmm. You know? Like probably pretty simple in the end if you can, like, I don't know, is there a console for Grasshopper where you can like see what it's actually doing and then like pass that back to an agent and like
maybe. I think I could just bypass
engineer it.
I feel like I'm just one good prompt away from just bypassing Grasshopper entirely and just outputting straight to Rapid. Like the Rapid code is not complex. The issue is that LLMs don't have a good sense of space and 3D geometry. That's why it feels like it's just one good prompt away. It's like if you could nail the prompt so you could give this language model the tools to like understand geometry in space in quite a, you know, six axis way, then I feel like it could just spit out the Rapid code and be done. Like, and I've oscillated between pursuing that and like sinking time into trying to develop that workflow versus sinking time into Grasshopper. And I've done a bit of both and sort of, I suppose at some point I settled on Grasshopper because it felt like the safer, more sensible route.
Yeah, right. No, I think you've got, maybe I miscommunicated. What I was meaning is like, it seems a little bit, it doesn't seem like a safe process and you're not going to pass it off ever if you keep with the Grasshopper route, probably. Even, you know, like you've mentioned in your video, it's like really hard to like even remember what you were doing the last time with it. And then you basically are forced to have different files, which can have deviations and best practices aren't in each one. And, and what I was meaning by like, I don't know if it's possible. If there's a way to like get what Grasshopper is passing to Rhino with like a console log of like, what is it actually doing? And then take that so that you can recreate it with an agent. Because it can't be, it's got to be just inputs and Python and really simple stuff. Commands for Rhino.
Yeah, get on that. Little list overwhelm. What was I gonna say? Things and stuff. What's your note about Big Fusion?
Have you updated your Fusion?
I tend to avoid doing that.
Me too. Yeah. But I did.
You did. Don't know if mine's up to date. What happened?
But you would know because as soon as you open the next time, it's got a splash screen that I hate a splash screen. I hate a splash screen more than anything. And they basically want you to choose now, which I didn't do any insider previews on this and I didn't see it coming, I guess. I've
so
kind of been a little tuned out with
new
Fusion things. As far as I understand, and like I probably should link to Kevin's video. I think he has a 5-minute explainer video on it, but it seems like it might be an improvement, but for an old Fusion head, it feels like a headache where now we have different versions of files. Basically, it feels like we've gone back to a SolidWorks model where it's like we have part files and we have assembly files and we have hybrid in between somehow. And I always thought that there was a lot of intentionality about not having separate types of files because that was a mess.
Yeah.
Have too many files open related to things. But I will say that from kind of vaguely thinking about it and playing with it, I think the hybrid is what I like. I don't know if I will use the other versions, but the reason I discovered this is I was doing a training with somebody for Fusion virtually, and I tried to show them my multi-file importer and it just failed. And I was cool. And they were very tuned in. This person like actually kind of keyed me in. They're like, I think it was part of the update. And I was like, I think you're right. And so I was kind of trying to fix the the plugin, and I discovered this, like, you can't have multiple components in a part file now when it's designed. And I think you can switch back and forth between these file types. I don't understand that part yet, but
Fusion.
It's a little bit messy to me. I don't really understand why we needed this.
You're making me not want to update right now.
Well,
I've got...
You get 29 days or whatever.
I've got 18 days until Fusion must update. I am not updating until John is back in the workshop. I need to be the Fusion master for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway. A serious podcast would have done their research in advance and had an answer, but...
That is not us.
I saw it. If you are using my little plugin add-in, you can change to a hybrid type and it seems to still work. And I have some updates coming about, like, that it'll give you basically more UI of, like, why it's failing instead of it just failing.
Yeah.
And cool. What you need to do to change to use it. That seems to be right now what's going on.
Cool. Good to know. Thanks for the heads up. I will avoid updating for now. Sure, it's fine.
Sure, it's fine. I hate it.
Fine. Fine. Zings and stuff. So I'd stayed up till AM the other night because I'd heard a little bit about Clawbot, Moltbot, OpenClaw. It's had three names in the last week, as far as I can tell.
I didn't realize the third one came.
Yeah, yeah. They seem to have settled on OpenClaw. I still don't really know what it is. Dear Richard Blackwell, Robot Masso Master, messaged me the other day, very enthusiastic about how they'd installed Moltbot in a Telegram environment, and it was doing a whole lot of interesting things for them, and blowing through tokens. And I was like, yeah, don't really know what it's for, but I got curious. And so the other night when I was supposed to be reconciling accounts in Xero, started installing OpenClaw on my Home Assistant Linux mini PC server thing. I was like, I don't want to put this on my laptop. It feels like a security risk. So let's put it on my separate little mini PC. So I remote team view it into it. I was like, noodle, noodle, noodle. And I got later and later. I was like, this is self-destructive, Jim. Should be reconciling, right, doing real work. But I got into that loop where you're trying to get something working and you're just like, I'm so close. I must see this work before I go to bed.
Yep. Yep. And then I'm up till 3. That's how that happens for me.
Yeah, that's how that happened. And so it was about 2 and it still wasn't. Well, it was kind of working. It had just started responding to me in Discord.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really doing anything, but the Discord bot was live and was chatting back to me a tiny bit. And so I just said that. I was home at the time. I was like, I'm not going to go to bed now. I'll just wake everyone up. So I just went to work.
I do that sometimes now. How does that go over with your partner? Because I imagine getting 3 kids up and ready is a lot.
It was her morning to do that, so it was okay.
Okay, okay.
As in, I would have been lucky. Getting up at 5 anyway and going to work, and she knew I wasn't going to be there the next morning, so it was just disappeared a few hours earlier.
I would have been like, oh, so you just ran away, huh? That's what I would have gotten.
Yep.
And got McDonald's on the way.
Yeah. But anyway, so I still don't really know what OpenClaw does, but there's so much hype about it that, you know, as with any of these things, I'm just curious. So I will have another crack at it.
OpenClaw FOMO.
I'm going to do a clean install, have another crack at it, and see if I can get it to work in my Discord again. But yeah, I don't know. Have you heard much about it? I'm sure you have.
I'm going to let you mess around with that one.
Yeah.
What I heard on the AI Guys podcast was it was super fresh. It had just changed names like overnight in the first day that it was out. Because Claude basically was like, we're going to sue you.
Mm-hmm.
Anthropic was like, you can't use our name. What I knew at that time, which I have not kept up on since, was that it was like a really crazy agent that could, as they marketed on the marketing page, do stuff. Mm. And with your authentication and tools and credit card, potentially, you can just, mm-hmm. it can just go and do and buy stuff and
set it loose,
build stuff. And there was reports of people in comments, I think, that were like, that it was crazy expensive. It's because it's using Claude models, and you have to, at the time you had to use your API key for Claude, and then they started blocking it, I think. But in the process, people were doing, it was like, I tried to get it to like go through my email and do some stuff for me pretty simply. And it was like $150 pretty quickly. And I was like, can't afford that. I don't know. I'll let somebody else figure that out for a while. So that's all I know. It seems scary.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about as much as I've heard as well. Other than this, yeah, just a few positive recounts of it being genuinely useful in that sort of team chat context of it being able to see, you know, if I can get it into Discord, it could see all our Discord channels and production chatter and meeting notes and stuff, and then sort of maybe in a useful way sort of help collate that context and assist with certain elements. And I just connected it to my Google, my Gemini API. So I think I can run it quite cheaply through that, because Google's got plenty of cheap, fast models available through their API. So I won't be hooking it up to any expensive mega models. I'll run it cheap and fast, but we'll see. I don't know. See if I can get it going first. I'll report back.
On the OpenClaw landing page, they've got what people say, little clips. And I paused on one that says, I'm literally building a whole website on a Nokia 3310 by calling OpenClaw right now.
Oh my gosh.
Building a website on a, what is a 3310, a flip phone?
Yeah.
How do you even do that? Yeah, oh yeah, it's the old brick.
Who's brick brought? Who's bricking?
The candy bar. Phone.
Oh, yeah. The brick. Yep. The classic brick. Yeah. So there you go. Indestructible. That's my story.
Phone. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm curious to see your experiment with it.
I think I would someday. Sorry. You're saying?
Yeah. Luckily, I'm not interested at the moment.
You stay that way.
It's always a problem for me. I'm going to stay that way. Keep my interests elsewhere. I had some decent Airshop updates this week. I'm making a kind of like ability to send users like an update email. Kind of the last thing I was working on. Made a little app to integrate with Help Scout. I think I might have mentioned that before, but I like got it working. It's active and you can use it.
That's right. I saw that.
Anybody else has tried it at the moment. It's pretty nice, pretty helpful. And as soon as I'm fully into quotes myself on using Airshop, I just need to basically move my quotient stuff over there. I just haven't done it yet. But I did a lot of like cleanup and work and made sure that different things work, like all the things on the quote viewer, so that people can actually like accept a quote. And if they make a comment, where does that go? You know, just go back to the quote builder. And it's a lot of like conditional stuff with like, if the end, you know, customer user rejects the quote, make sure it updates the status and it sends that to the person that sent the quote to them. In like an email, and it's just, you know, a lot of little things that it's amazing how many little aspects to make a good experience for everybody.
Yeah. So much nuance. What's your thought process around pricing? How are you going to price it?
Pricing? Contact for more. I don't know, you're going to have to contact them. Right now, It's kind of, most people are on a kind of like, this is the perk of reaching out and wanting to test with us, is getting a pretty good discount. But the base level, which I'm not going to be able to do on the fly AUD translation, but it's $99 for up to two people a month. And yep. $299 for up to 10 users, which is probably pretty low at the moment. And then you get a discount to do like a year, an annual subscription for both of those. That's kind of built into the checkout. And then people over that, we're going to have to figure it out. that's why you always see like contact sales for this, because it's like, it's just, there's two. It's like, do you have 1,000 users? I don't know. How do I, you know, you can't have like a single solution at that point.
Well,
a lot of estimates at this point, but we need to just like see real use to that's part of why I'm kind of starting with smaller companies, just to like get in and see people's like daily usage and like, what's that looking like on the database and the host and the email provider. And I'm still not even close to like a place where I can get a real gauge on that. It's mostly Ricky and I, and then some other people trying stuff out every once in a while. So,
yep. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Oh, the other big thing is I added, the biggest comment I get is it's overwhelming to move to something like this, right? Like, it's a lot of thinking like, oh my God, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to move all this stuff and I'm still using my other thing. And I get that, like, it's a lot. And so I've started with an onboarding tour just to get people familiar of like, clicks around the page and shows you different little things. It's like five or seven steps. And then when that ends, there's a little checklist to go through of like starting up of like, try this. And you check the items off and it takes you to those places in the app. And then it's not live yet. I'm finishing that today.
Nice.
And I think that's going to help quite a bit, because outside of being with somebody next to them and just going, hey, click here, which I think is maybe the best case, it's tough to like unleash and show people all the things about software.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I've been thinking about doing something like that for the Kidder Builder, just to get people in at that first step, just like get over that first little hurdle. But then it will be annoying for everyone else, but try and find a way.
Yeah, but that's pretty tricky, because it's like you don't have a user account to like store that they've done it.
Yep.
I mean, you could have one pop-up window. What it can do, what you could do pretty easily, is it's store it in their cache or like their as a cookie, and then anytime that person comes back on that computer, they're not going to see it again. You know, and if they do have like a one-click dismiss kind of thing, and then that should store until they come back again. And
yeah,
that makes sense. I can share with you the things that I'm using, an open source package that's really nice and easy to implement for like the tour kind of thing. There's a couple.
Okay, cool. Sure. Show me.
I might have sent you a video of it. I'm not sure. I just like dump stuff to you too much.
No, that's good. Well, almost time for my school bus run. I am the school bus this morning.
Yeah.
What's on for the rest of your afternoon?
Oh, God.
Slats. Oh, dear. The lights now. Time to go.
My sticky note fell off.
Is that where the lights turned on?
Yeah, apparently. It's a motion sensor, and apparently I stretched.
Oh, right.
What was I going to say? There's one more. Oh, I'm watching some pretty cool, I think you and I had talked about it before, but Grimsmo went to his Canadian compatriot and did a full tour of Hacksmith.
I need to check that video.
Well, which, having watched a lot of the Hacksmith vlogs about their, like I mentioned, my kind of interest in watching their like crazy startup of buying 50 or 60 CNC machines and just curious and never knowing much about them otherwise. I didn't even know that the founder of it was the guy that they were showing every once in a while, because they'd like change the host of the vlog so often. I didn't really get to like, basically Grimsmo follows around the founder in this absolutely wild Iron Man-esque workspace they have for, like, you know, we talked about the IoT stuff he's got. Well, it's like, there's like elevators that go up into the ceiling tiles. There's secret rooms. There's like just wild stuff, like crazy automatic bow and arrow ranges with, it's very interesting. Anyway, I'll link it.
Yeah, I've been meaning to check that video out. Sounds fun. I do like an Iron Man-esque escapade.
It's pretty
find that attractive some way.
Yeah. I think their latest video, I just watched the Hacksmith vlogs like last night, it's like number 16. They were talking about like some of their reorg of like the people they've hired in the manufacturing team, and they had like an org chart. And I'm pretty sure that he said they had 3 or 4 machinists. And all I was thinking was like, that are currently trying to run 50 CNC machines? Like, how? I know it's production, but like, even if you're like staggering them, how do you just be constantly running from machine to machine, changing parts, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe that works. I think they're hiring still, but.
I did that last week, actually. I can't remember what happened. Someone was away. It was just pretty much just me in the shop all day. And I had, for a while there, I had 3 robots running, CNC machine, pencil sharpener, and the printer, all producing parts. Mm-hmm. And I had a great time. It was just like running from one to the next. It was like, oh, you need a thing now. You need a file change. You need a nappy change.
You need gem cell, don't you?
That was awesome. Had a ball.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go for the Hacksmith job.
Run some machines too.
Cool.
Okay.
Good chat. I'll send you your label in the mail. Yeah.
Thanks.
Ciao.
Bye.